This is The State of Things, broadcasting from the Upstage Cabaret at Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stacio. In 1940, Hattie McDaniel won an Oscar for her performance as Mammy in Gone with the Wind. She became the first African-American ever to win an Academy Award. And that may have been the high water mark of McDaniel's reception. Over the years, critics condemned McDaniel for perpetuating racist stereotypes as she portrayed Mammy as a helpful servant satisfied with her lowly position. Well, the play currently in production here at Triad Stage is called Trouble in Mind, and it has Hattie McDaniel and her cohort in mind. It features an older African-American actress who boldly picks apart the theatrical roles that are offered her. Preston Lane's artistic director at Triad Stage. He directs Trouble in Mind and joins me right now. Preston, welcome back. Good to have you here.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
You brought along some actors who came all the way upstairs.
That's right.
To be part of this production. Cassandra Lowe Williams, Evan Thompson, Philip Lynch, and Harold Surratt are performing in Trouble in Mind, and we'll hear from them in just a minute. So, Preston, tell me a little more about this play.
This is a wonderful play. It's almost one of those lost American classics that you think you're not going to be able to find a play that isn't that well known, that's really worth being known. And it was written in 1955, won an Obie Award, the Off-Broadway Award, in the early days of Off-Broadway in 1956. It was supposed to go to Broadway, but Alice Childress refused to rewrite it in the way that the white producers wanted it to be. So she gave up that opportunity, and the title of the first black female playwright on Broadway went to Lorraine Hansberry for Raisin in the Sun. It's an incredible play about a woman who has always wanted to be a great actress, who has always wanted to do something grand in the theater. She is, however, an African-American woman, and the opportunities are very, very limited. So when she gets offered a chance to play a leading role in a really bad play called Chaos in Belleville, she jumps at that opportunity. But as the director demands that she brings reality to her performance, she realizes that she cannot play the stereotype roles any longer if reality is what is expected from her.
And it's an interesting time in the history of theater because you're talking about the mid-50s, so this is when the method, the Stanislavski method, is making its way into Hollywood and certainly onto Broadway. The idea that you're supposed to bring some real feeling and experience to your roles and not just gestures that you've learned in acting school.
Right. It's a time of complete contrast between an older generation and a new generation of the theater. In 1956, from England, we got a play called Look Back in Anger, which gave us The Angry Young Man, changed the world theater forever. And there's a great scene in this play where the older African-American actress and a young African-American actor meet on the first day of rehearsal, and she gives him some lessons on what's expected.
Can we do that scene right now?
Why you want to act? Why don't you make something out of yourself?
What? Well, I...
You look bright enough to be a doctor or even a lawyer, maybe. You don't have to take what I've been through. You don't have to take it off of them.
I think the theater's the grandest place in the world, and I plan to go right to the top.
Uh-huh. And where did you think I was planning on going?
Oh, well, I...
Well, what?
Nothing. I know what I want to do. I'm set decided, and that's that. You're in it. Aren't you proud to be a part of it all?
Of what all?
Theater.
Show business. It's just a business. Colored folk ain't in no theater. You ever do a professional show before?
Yes, some off-Broadway, and I've taken some classes.
Oh, don't let the man know that.
Oh, no.
They don't like for us to go to school. You can, let's see, perhaps... tell them that you're not like what they normally expect. They want you to just be natural, talented, just born with the gift. You know, just say that you were in the last revival of Porgy and Bess because they want you to be experienced, too.
I'm a little young for that.
They don't know the difference. You were one of the children.
I need this job, but must I lie?
Yes. Management hates folks who need jobs. They get the least money, the least respect. Most of the time, they don't get the job.
Got it. I'm always doing great.
There we go. Cassandra Lowe Williams and Philip Lynch in a scene from Trouble in Mind on stage right now at Triad Stage here in Greensboro. Artistic director and director Preston Lane is with us. So in the first place, in that wonderful scene, you get to see what a ferocious and fierce writer Alice Childress was.
Yes, she was an amazing writer. She started as an actress. She started with a group called the American Negro Theater. They did a play called Anna LaCosta, which was actually written by a Polish-American, but the A&T made it an African-American play. It ran on Broadway for several years, went to Chicago, went on tour. Ozzie Davis, Ruby Dee, Sidney Poitier, everyone was in it at one point. She was nominated for a Tony Award, but Alice Childress was a very light-skinned African-American woman, and she had a real difficulty because she wasn't stereotypical enough in the view of Hollywood producers and Broadway producers to play the kind of roles that they wanted. So she and Sidney Poitier were having a conversation one evening, and he said that if there was ever going to be a conversation on the stage between white actors, white characters and black characters, that it would have to be a male-dominated life or death issue. And she said, "You're wrong," and overnight wrote a play called Florence. Which is a white woman and a black woman having a conversation that's not life or death. And that started off her career as a playwright, an amazing playwright who later became a novelist. She wrote a book called A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich, which was turned into a movie with Cicely Tyson in the 70s. She says that she is the best, least known person in America.
Well, and someone who, yeah, was breaking ground in 1956, and yet you've said that this business of stereotype and how difficult it is for actors in gender and race to break stereotype is still with us today.
It is definitely still with us today. Actresses say often that they reach a point when they can no longer play the girlfriend. They have to wait until they're old enough to play the mother. And once they've aged themselves out of that, they have to wait until they're old enough to play the grandmother. And there's going to be long stretches where they can't work. I think Meryl Streep has done a really remarkable job of insisting that an actress can be just as profitable for the Hollywood system as an actor can be. I know many of my black actor friends who continually say that when they go into auditions, they're only wanting to play drug dealers. And many of my Latino actor friends are only wanting to play Arab terrorists. And many of my Arab actor friends say they can't get a job because all the Latinos are playing the Arab terrorists. So there's still an enormous amount of stereotyping that goes on in television, film, and even in the theater still today.
And there's a great scene, a number of great scenes, but one I think that you're prepared to do now that illustrates the tension that actors feel when they're faced with that kind of thing.
Sure. We have a scene between the doorman of the theater, who has a long, long history in the theater. He's Irish-American, and he is going to be reunited with someone he worked with, Willetta Taylor, the African-American actress, as they begin the rehearsals on this play.
You are Willetta Mayer. More than 20 years ago in the old Gailey Theatre, you were singing a number with the lights changing color all around you. What was the name of that show?
Brown Skin Melody.
That's it. And the lights...
Oh, was a doggone rainbow.
And you looked so pretty and you sounded so fine. Ah, there's no denying it.
Thank you, but I don't...
Well, I'm Henry.
You don't say.
Well, I was an electrician. Rigged up all those lights and never missed a cue. I'm the doorman here now. I've been in show business over 50 years. I'm the doorman, Henry.
Oh, that's a nice name. But I sure remember those lights.
Bet you can't guess how old I am, I bet you.
Well, you're certainly looking good.
Go ahead, take a guess.
Well, I'd say you were in your late 50s.
Ha ha! I fool them all. I'm 78 years old. How's that?
Ooh, don't be telling it.
Are you singing in this new show?
No, I'm acting in it. I play the mother.
How's that?
I'm the mother.
Could I run next door, get you some coffee? I'm going anyway, no bother.
No, thank you, just the same.
If you open here, don't let them give you dressing room C. It's small, and it's got no John in it. Oh, excuse me. I mean, no commode, Miss Mayer.
Thank you. I'll watch out for that.
That's 78 years old, the old Gailey.
Well, I'm not going to tell you my age. A woman that will tell her age will tell anything.
Oh, that's a good one. A woman that'll tell her age. What else?
Will tell anything.
Oh, will tell. Well, see you a little later.
So long.
That's Evan Thompson and Cassandra Lowe Williams in one scene from Trouble in Mind here on stage at Triad Stage in Greensboro. Preston, how does Willetta's age play into this show?
I think that she comes from a generation who made their way into film, television, and theater from vaudeville. She was a singer primarily. I mean, in that moment when Henry remembers her from Brown Skin Melody, it's for singing. Not unlike Ethel Waters or Hattie McDaniel or any other sort of the great black performers of this period, it started with music and dance as the option for how to make a career. But she's now really been working in film, working in theater, and wants to do more, wants to really do something, as she says in the play, grand.
How has it, you talked about, too, the fact that when you were looking for plays, and I hadn't thought about this until you mentioned it a little bit earlier as we were talking, you look for a play, and it's very difficult to find plays written with both black and white characters interacting.
It's very, very rare. So often, I think theaters look at plays by black authors as being civil rights statements, and they want to only deal with, you know, whether or not we're going to integrate this or what kind of struggle this is, as opposed to, and those plays are very important, and I like many of those plays so much, but that dialogue that happens, that dialogue which I think needs to happen more and more in the real world, between whites and blacks, between people who are different, to actually talk, not to fight, not to argue, not about life and death necessarily, but the thrill that I see when you bring African-American actors and white American actors into a rehearsal hall. And so often the case is that you might have a cast and it's seven black actors and one white actor, or it's seven white actors and one black actor. But to have sort of an equally divided group really begins to open up opportunities for dialogue and discovery that would never happen unless that play was in rehearsal.
No, and if you can imagine seeing that in the 1950s, just witnessing that on the stage would be visually stunning in America in 1956.
I think completely, and she was a very radical playwright. I do believe this. Even though the play is very funny, even though the play is very serious at moments and has great hope within it, it's also a very radical play because it says we can be better than what we are, we can do more, and we can actually move beyond the wounds and the sins of our past into something different.
So radical that producers wanted her to change it. You mentioned this earlier. What was it about the way, and I think it was the ending of the play, that made them not want to pony up and bring it to Broadway?
Well, it was also not just issues of race, but issues of gender. And it is very much a play about a woman who demands to be treated as an equal in the theater process. That is still a real struggle going on in the American theater right now. But the ending of the play, the producers wanted it to end happily and for everyone to work things out completely and to realize that we were going to move forward. In fact, it ended with, we are climbing Jacob's ladder, the entire cast, white and black, together in one great kumbaya moment.
Mamma mia.
And it was, it was a nice ending, but it wasn't a particularly realistic ending. Yeah. The realistic ending is we don't know what's going to happen. We are going to realize that we learned something in this process, but we have to keep working to make it better.
Can you do another scene for us?
Sure. We have a great scene. It's the character of Sheldon. He's an older African-American actor who's played a lot of stereotypical roles. And in Chaos in Belleville, there is a lynching in the play. And so the director says, we've never seen a lynching. We have to imagine what one is. And Sheldon says he's seen one. And so he tells them a very disturbing story about what happened when he was a child.
Yeah, I think it was a Saturday. Yeah, it had to be. Elsewise, I'd have been out in the field with my ma and pa.
What field?
The cotton field. My ma said I was too little to go out there every day, but there was some of them younger than me out there all the time. My grandma was at home with me.
What about the lynching?
Yeah, it was a Saturday, and it was raining, sort of a sifty rain, and I was just standing at the window watching the lilac bush waving in the wind, and a sound come to my ears, like bees humming. It was voices coming closer and closer, screaming and cursing. My granny, she tried to pull me from the window. She said, "Come on, child. They're going to kill us all. Hide." But I was fighting her to keep from going into that dark closet. And the screaming just coming closer and closer. And the screaming was laughing. Lord, how they was laughing. Hush! And then I hear wagon wheels bumping over the wet, stony road. Chains clanking. Man driving the wagon, beating the horse. Ah! And the horse just pulling along. And then I saw it. Just chained to the back of the wagon. Just bumping and dragging along. The arms of it stretched out. A burnt, naked thing. A burnt, naked thing that was once a man. And I started to scream. But no sound come out. Just screaming. But no sound. And that was Mr. Morris that they killed. Mr. Morris. I remember one time, he come by the house with laughing and talking about everything. He even gave us a fruitcake that his wife had made. Folks said he was crazy, you know, about talking back. He's quick to speak his mind. Yeah, I left there when I was 17. I wasn't going to live in a place like that.
Harold Surratt from Trouble in Mind, on stage now at Triad Stage in Greensboro. And Preston Lane, what a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
And these fine actors who have joined us today, Cassandra Lowe Williams, Evan Thompson, Philip Lynch, Harold Surratt, all performing in Trouble in Mind. Let's hear it. Trouble in Mind is in production at Triad Stage through this Sunday, September 23rd, Preston Lane, artistic director and directing the play. Coming up next, celebrating Greensboro native O. Henry's 150th birthday on the State of Things First, Daniel Levi and Lauren Goins with another song from their album, Brother Stranger.
Who knows where to go to find the king? Which of us will not be broken by desire? Which of us will not be broken by desire? With hearts too big and heaven thumping.